Hey friends, thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you grow and to learn. I'm Mary and I'm joined with Josh, and our guests this week are Kara and Christina.
Shalom.
Hello.
Hello.
Howdy. He took mine. I was going to say shalom again, Josh.
I'm just trying to pick up on Dad.
You know? Oh, there you go. Well, it's good to have you ladies with us tonight. We're going to be talking about Psalms 23. Its significance. It is such a wonderful psalm.
And I equate it sometimes with, we know the Christmas story. We know the birth of Jesus. But sometimes we glaze over it because it's so familiar. Mm-hmm. And then kids will memorize. One time in Vacation Bible School, this little boy was like, I have the whole 23rd Psalm memorized. And we can memorize, but that doesn't mean we have the concept. Right. We understand what is going on. So sometimes I think we take it too superficially.
Yeah, we take it for granted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the first verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The end. Let's go home. No, I'm kidding. That's very relevant.
It is. And when you think about the connotation with shepherd, the Old Testament theme was caring for flocks and everything that was involved in that. And then Jesus said that he was the good shepherd. Right. And then we have pastors in the New Testament, he said that. And then now, in the modern church, we have our shepherds and under-shepherds that take care of us, their flocks. And so there's a lot of different meanings that can go with those few words.
You know, here David puts himself as a sheep, him being a shepherd, mm-hmm. but he puts himself as a sheep and God is the shepherd. And he knew what that meant. He knew what a shepherd was. He knew how to take care of his flock, and he knew what to do with his flock, but he puts himself in the shepherd or in the sheep position,
right,
instead of the shepherd position.
Amen.
And what do most people say about sheep?
They're dumb.
Mm-hmm. So that was a big deal for him to take the lowly position there, I would think, knowing what the shepherd's responsibilities were and the fact that he had been in that role.
Right.
He had to protect them.
Yes.
2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Listen, just to lie down. Lay down. Relax. Turn your mind off. Focus on me. You know, sometimes that's what we have to do because, you know, the world seems like it's rushing by us at a high rate of speed, and we're just being, or maybe we're just being drug along behind the car. You know what I mean? But here he is saying, I'm going to give you peace. You know, that's very important.
And he's giving us green pastures. He's providing sustenance for us in that.
Right. The sheep's duty is to follow and trust the shepherd.
Right.
If the sheep go out on their own, they're not under the protection of the shepherd. And that's where we get out from under the protection of God, and we get in trouble. Right. And the shepherd has to take his hook and bring us back in.
Right. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And the person that I listened to on this subject was like, sometimes sheep, if their wool becomes too much and they get turned over, mm-hmm. they can't right themselves.
Yeah.
They're that weak.
Mm-hmm.
We're not any different.
Exactly.
You know, and if we get out from under that protection, any number of things can happen to us, you know. And I don't want to be out from under that. I want to be right up underneath him where he needs me to be. You know?
Dwelling.
That's right.
Dwelling and walking.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, you drive down the road and you see a super green field out there, and mm-hmm. it looks so plush and
welcoming.
Relaxing and welcoming. Mm-hmm. And just think about the sheep laying down in the green pastures. And you know, I'm sure David used the sheep sometimes to lay down himself and mm-hmm. use the sheep as a pillow because they're soft and they're woolly. And just imagine King Jesus
right.
when we are laid down in green pastures at rest, imagine him getting close to us and him laying his head on us.
Amen.
You know,
that's a beautiful image.
It just is. Resting on us, in us, mm-hmm. through us. And we get to rest in him, on him, through him.
That's right.
In a total area of protection.
Absolutely.
That's
yes.
good.
And provision. I mean, if he's providing the green pastures, if you take that literally, for something mm-hmm. to eat, and yeah. he's leading us by still waters so that we have the necessities of life, something to drink.
Right.
Yeah. Refreshment.
Refreshment.
Well, he said provision. In verse 1, said, I shall not want you. I shall not want. So
exactly.
each one of these verses is him providing a need.
Right.
And that was one thing that I had read today was he provides what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we don't get it, we didn't need it.
That's right.
He's our complete provision.
Yes. And I thought that was really good. I thought, okay, I really need to think about that.
That's good.
Yeah. If we didn't get it, we don't need it.
There
so
you go.
I thought that was great.
I heard a story one time, and it was about a village in, I believe it was Africa, who had just tons and tons of people at their church. It was so big, it was outside, and people would walk all over from there, and there was just a poverty-stricken area. And ministers went in, and they said, well, what can we do for you? What do you need? And that pastor in the poverty-stricken place, he said, we don't have needs. We meet needs.
Praise God.
And that is just like God. He's so big, and he's so faithful. He meets all of our needs. He is our complete provision if we follow him.
Right.
We have to completely, totally follow the shepherd.
That's so true.
Yeah. And how often do we just want to be in a little bit of control?
Right.
Yeah.
One time whenever I was in a new job as a teacher, now you have to do the whole fingerprinting, probably lots of jobs, not just that, but we had to go to the police station, and I went into the police station, and he said, why are you here? And I told him why, and he said, you're a teacher? And I said, yeah. He said, oh, this is going to be great. You people never give up control. So we always want that little bit of control because
right,
we don't
yeah.
always fully trust
right.
that we're going to get everything
right.
that we need whenever in actuality it's about what we want. The needs have been provided.
And he's just waiting for you to give it up.
Yes.
He's like, listen, just trust me, and I'm going to show you things that you've never seen before.
And how refreshing and freeing is that? And we don't choose it.
Right. We are a hard-headed bunch.
Yeah, I am.
We all are.
If the sheep lead the shepherd,
right.
that's out of order.
That is out of order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's completely out of order, just like in a marriage. If the wife leads, it's out of order.
It is.
If the sheep lead, it's out of order. You know, we have to be totally, completely surrendered to him in his provision completely.
Yes,
and it
do.
Is hard to give it up sometimes because we have so many cares in the world and we want to make sure everything's taken care of and done. And
well, we have a tendency to carry the weight.
Yeah.
We try to fix everything for everybody, especially as moms and aunts. And, you know, we try to fix everything and that's not what his intention is.
Yeah, he said his burden is light, his yoke is easy.
That's right.
To take his, but we try to carry it on our shoulders.
Right.
And it's heavy.
It is heavy.
And oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not ours, but his.
And whenever you look at 2, he's providing the things that's physical,
mm-hmm.
but in verse 3, he's providing the things that are spiritual.
Yes.
He restores my soul.
Well, your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. That's your mental stability. He takes care of all, he heals your mental stability. Because you're a three-part body, your body, spirit, soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. And he heals that. He restores that back to health. He takes care of that, and he provides everything.
He leads us. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Right, if we follow.
If we follow, which goes right back to what we were talking about. And we have to give him the authority.
Yes. And the righteousness of being set apart because of the blood of Christ. That is so comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And just restoring, when you think about restoring, having our souls restored, because we're surrounded by such chaos at times, and that restoration is so peaceful, so desired.
Yeah. Well, we have so much going on, we just wear ourselves out, and he's just waiting. It's like, when you get tired of running in circles, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm going to help you through this.
And days into whatever you're struggling
with, that's right.
Then you go, oh, why didn't I thought of that?
Yeah, exactly. Guilty.
says he leads us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yeah.
You know, something I do a lot, especially when I take communion, I go into an exchange with him. I give him my filthy rags, and I take on his robe of righteousness. And it says here he would lead us into that righteousness. In Christ, we are made righteous. We are in right standing with him.
Right.
And can be seen by God as righteous, otherwise not. I was thinking about that the other day, the blood, like we were talking about, to be dripping in the blood of Jesus, to be covered completely.
Yes.
And be seen and loved by God, because otherwise he can't look upon evil.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, oh my gosh, yeah.
The blood is good stuff.
It is good stuff.
We have to be covered by the blood. You know, that goes even back to the Passover. You know, Pastor's been preaching a lot about coming out of Egypt and all of that. And in Goshen, that they had to slaughter the lamb on their doorstep, take the blood and put over their doorstep. Well, Jesus was our lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So his blood now is over our doorpost in our temple. We're the temple now.
Yes.
We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and his blood, the blood of Jesus, covers us when we accept him as our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And that blood is important.
Yes,
if we don't have the blood, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But when he sees the blood, if we're under the blood, he can't.
That's right.
We're protected.
Mm-hmm. We're protected.
That's a whole thing right there in
that
of
is,
itself.
Right, that is.
That's a whole message.
Well, 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. Just like you said before, if you get out away from the shepherd, he's going to take that staff and hook you and bring you right back in.
Yeah. You know, they use the rod to ward off predators, but the staff had a hook on it.
Mm-hmm.
So when the sheep got out of a line, he could hook them and pull them back into alignment.
When they would fall, like they, you know, they might fall down the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
Or in a hole or somewhere that he couldn't reach them. And they use that hook
to
bring
pull
them back.
Them back in.
That's what Jesus does to us.
Absolutely.
How many holes have we fell in? How many mountains have we tripped and slipped off of?
All the time.
That's right. That's good.
Yeah. I listened to something today that I thought was interesting. The person speaking said that whenever we're in those green pastures and by the still waters, we're feeding, we're at peace. Animals, whenever the shepherds would move them from one feeding location to the next, the move was the dangerous part.
Yeah.
Whenever you watch National, whatever, Geographic or whatever on TV and you see the migration, it's the migratory process that is dangerous.
Right.
And so even whenever we're going from the green pastures and we're being restored and then we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're moving through that time that is a little bit where we're at jeopardy, or where it's not safe. God's with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are safe, mm-hmm. because he is with us. So he says, I'll fear no evil. Even in that migration from one situation to the next situation,
right.
The hills and the valleys, he's there. He's pulling us through that time, so we don't have to fear anything because he's with us.
Well, he said, my sheep know my voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so back when David was being a shepherd, you know, if they took their sheep around other shepherds and their sheep, you know, they would put them in holding pens. And like maybe they were staying there for the day. And so they would put him in that holding pen. And when he would come back and say, you know, he used his voice to call his sheep out amongst those other sheep.
Yes.
That's what he does for us.
I talked to a guy one time that said just that. He raises sheep. And he said that they had taken some to a cell and they had put them in pens. And he and a person were standing talking, and all of a sudden there were his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
They heard his voice,
right. Yeah.
And they came to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, because they were afraid. This was something they weren't used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we are going to try to get a hold of Jesus when we're afraid, when things aren't right. We need to hear his voice.
Right.
And so that we can have that peace that passes all understanding.
Right. And that comes through a constant daily walk,
yes.
with him.
Yes.
If the greater the walk, the greater the voice.
The louder, yeah.
The louder,
yeah.
the mm-hmm. voice, yes.
That's the relationship we have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That's good right there, because, you know, in the midst of the battle, I'm going to prepare a table before you, and your enemies are going to watch you at peace. They're going to watch what you're doing, and they're going to hate it. They're going to hate that you're receiving this meal and that you're being taken care of when they're trying to battle with you.
Right.
You know, David was two things. He was a shepherd and he mm-hmm. was a king.
Right.
And we see that here both times. We see at first, we see the shepherd, him relating Christ to the shepherd. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what does a king do? King has banquets. So he's putting himself both as a sheep and a guest in the king's table. So at first we see he's the sheep, and now he's the guest of the king. So we see both aspects of what King David did, being a shepherd and being a king, but he flips it to being a sheep and being a guest.
Right.
Which is humbleness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is what we should all display.
Absolutely.
Well, he said, my cup runneth over. He couldn't keep all his blessings in one cup.
Yeah.
That is our God. That's how our God works.
Yeah, he prepares a table mm-hmm. for us mm-hmm. in the presence of our enemy.
Right.
So it don't matter what's out there. It don't matter anything. It matters that we are sitting at the king's table. And at the king's table, there's everything we need.
That's right.
Everything from provision to protection to
Amen.
Everything. And it don't matter what's around us, because I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Those are huge words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are huge words. And back to your comment earlier about the people in Egypt and the blood of the lamb being put over the doors. And that blood of the lamb that was put over the doors, then they were to go in and eat and have their meal before leaving, while the death angel was administering his destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they were eating at the king's table in
yes.
the midst of
the
enemy.
Yeah, that's and right. they not only had to eat the lamb, they had to eat the full lamb. They
right.
had to eat everything.
Right.
They had to take it all in, just like we have to take all of Christ in.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take the full Lamb of God and eat all of him, all of his word, because his word dwells in us, the more we look at his word. I was thinking about just in the last few days, God had had me in Exodus 33, I believe it is, and it's where Moses saw God face to face. And as we open the word, that's exactly what we are doing now. We are coming face to face because the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when we open the word and we get in him, we are seeing God face to face right here, getting praise inside God. Of him.
Yes. What refreshing thoughts those are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have that access.
Yes. Access granted.
Yes. Access granted. And think about the people who do not have that access granted. They don't understand because the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in them.
Yeah. Right.
So they can't fully understand the access. They don't get access.
Right.
Nobody wants to be left out.
And they
yet
don't
some
have
people
to be.
Choose that.
Right. They don't have to be. It's yeah. a choice.
So it's a scary choice.
It is.
It's an eternal
especially
choice.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a blessing. It's a promise. This whole prayer is a promise. This whole psalm is a promise.
You know, going back to the word follow, I looked it up in the Strong's, and it has a lot of meanings. It means to pursue or to chase or run after or hunt down. It means to overtake. So his goodness and his mercy not only follow me, but it overtakes me. It chases me down.
It's running after you.
And it's running after mm-hmm. me and overtaking me.
Amen.
His goodness and his mercy follow me everywhere I go. It overtakes me. Everything I need overtakes me. The camels are coming.
That's right. Amen.
That is right.
Well, you know, he followed David.
Glad. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you said a while ago that David was a shepherd and a king, but he also went through being a warrior, you know, being in battle.
Yes.
And remember, they wrote songs about him, and it angered King Saul. Then he ended up running from King Saul. But he didn't run from King Saul because he was afraid that he couldn't fight and win against King Saul. He loved him.
Yeah. He had reverence for the king.
He did.
That he did, yes.
And he did not want... So that's why he showed him. There was one part of that that he... was it a piece of his hair?
I think it was a piece of
his robe. His robe that he cut and stood afar off and said, I could have killed you.
Yeah.
I could have taken your life, but I chose not to because I loved you.
And his men saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another layer there
right.
of him showing God's mercy
right.
and love when it could have been very different. But because of his reverence, he chose otherwise.
Right.
You know, it says, touch not my anointed.
Do my prophets no harm.
Right. Yeah. And at one point, Saul was anointed mm-hmm. by God to
right.
be king.
That is right.
And David had that reverence for Saul.
Yes.
I'm not going to do him any harm.
Right.
He is anointed by God. And when it's my place to take mm-hmm. over kingship, then I'll be king.
But he loved him.
Yes, he did.
And he was best friends with his son.
Yeah, they had a covenant
yes.
together.
So there was a lot of layers to David.
Yeah.
A lot of layers. And all through the years, God took care of him. Even when he messed up. But he came back to God. And he begged for forgiveness. And he made things right. Go ahead.
That's why... David was a man after God's own heart.
Right.
He was the apple of his eye because he had a heart of repentance. It's
yes.
not that he didn't mess up because
right.
he messed up a lot.
Right.
But he had a very repentant heart.
He did. And we have to have that.
Yes.
We have to have that. We have to be able to admit our faults, admit our wrongs, apologize for them, and make them right.
Yes.
And that's not always easy sometimes, especially when you feel like, they did me wrong. They, you know, that is not what it says. You know, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. Mm-hmm. So you do what I tell you to do, and you leave the vengeance and the other things up to me. And that's what we forget sometimes, that we're not supposed to take everything into our hands and handle it.
Exactly. And we only know that because of a relationship of dwelling with Him.
Right, right.
Constantly, daily.
Oh, yeah, because as a young person, I would have took it into my own hands.
Exactly.
But now that I know God, I know He's going to take care of me. You know,
every day.
Every day.
You know, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is not to the unbeliever. That scripture is to the believer. We have to confess, Lord, I did wrong. Forgive me. And then we have to go to whoever we hurt.
Right.
Or whatever we did. We have to make it right, not only with God, but with man.
Right.
It's a two-way...
It's a requirement.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we can't walk in that offense. We can't walk in that unforgiveness.
Right.
We can't, because that puts us out of relationship with our shepherd.
That's right. Amen.
It makes us fall off the cliff.
Yes. It does.
Puts us in danger.
And then He has to use that little hook.
The rod.
That's
right.
Bring us back.
Yeah.
Or hit us over the head. Whatever.
Whatever works.
Whatever the situation calls for.
That is right.
No, He loves us.
Yes, He does.
And Psalms 23 declares that.
Yeah.
He shows us how much He loves us.
He does. And if He didn't love us, He wouldn't care to correct us or bring us
back.
That's
correct.
He would not. And at the end of verse 6 where He says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Eternity.
Eternity.
Yeah.
That is so refreshing.
That is our reward.
That is our reward. And He knew it.
Mm-hmm.
We see everything in Psalms 23. He takes care of all of our physical needs, all of our mental needs, all of our spiritual needs, all of our financial needs for eternity.
Amen.
He takes care of everything. So many people see this as, and they use it in funerals, and they see it as a death psalms.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so
it's
not. It is
more.
So much life.
Mm-hmm.
It's for us now, not for the death.
That's right.
In heaven, when we accept Christ and we die, we're not in the presence of our enemy anymore.
Mm-mm.
We are in Him.
Right.
Completely, totally
Him. Right.
In Him. So this is a life psalm. We have everything in this psalm.
It's a comforting psalm because whenever I lost my spouse, I read a lot of Psalms at that point, but this is where I dwelled for a while because it was comforting. I needed that reassurance that He was going to take care of me like He was taking care of sheep in green pastures. He was going to take care of me and provide for my physical and my spiritual needs, and He was going to make my cup overflow. And this was one of those... sleep with your Bible thing, and just pull it in, because that was where I found strength. And it doesn't have to be just what you're saying. It does not have to be about death. It is definitely refreshing to the soul.
This is a good one for grief, because when we're grieving, we're not, things aren't right.
Oh,
you're not
nothing
making
is
sense.
Right. No.
You don't, your heart's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And He's saying to us, listen, I'm going to take care of all of these for you, especially right at that time, because you can't do it for yourself.
No. And the thing that creeps in at that moment of grief, great grief, is fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this overcomes that.
Yeah.
He promises us that He overcomes fear. And so, yes, it is so comforting.
This has been a really good study, you guys. You know, we've been in Psalms the last few episodes, and let me tell you, if you haven't opened Psalms and read and studied it, you're in for a treat, because there's many more besides this one that is going to give you peace and comfort.
Yes, for sure.
Christina, would you like to lead us in our ending prayer, please?
Absolutely. Father God, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You that Your goodness and Your mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. It shall pursue us and run after us and overtake us all the days of our life from now until eternity. We give you glory and honor. Lord, I thank you that your word is a seed into our hearts. And we thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, ladies, again for being with me and Josh. And we'll see you again soon. I know that we will. We want to thank everyone for joining us today. If you haven't already, make for sure you subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss an episode. Please leave a review and share with your family and friends so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve, to reach, and to teach.